Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Jasoda binds Lord Krishna, text number 19. Evam Sandarshita Yanga Harina Britya Vasyata Svavashenapi Krishnena Yasyedam Shesvaram Vashe. Evam, in this manner, Sandarshita was exhibited. He, indeed, Anga, O Maharaj Parikshit, Harina, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pritya Vashyata, his transcendental quality of becoming subordinate to his servitor or devotee. Svavashena, who is within the control only of his own will, self. Agpi, indeed. Krishnena, by Krishna, yasya, of whom, idam, the whole universe, swaishwaram, with the powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, vishe, under the control. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of His devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Report. The pastime of Krishna is very difficult to understand. Or this pastime of Krishna's is very difficult to understand. But devotees can understand it. It is therefore said, Darsham yams tad vidam loka atmano bhaktivatsatyam vashyatam. The Bhagavatam 10.11.9. The Lord displays the transcendental attribute of coming under the control of His devotees. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.35, Ekopyaso rachayitum jagaranda kotim yatschaktir asti jagaranda chaya irantak andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. By this one plenary portion as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods. Yet He agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishads it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by his mother, he was finally defeated, and Mother Jasoda captured him. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrama Sevyamanam. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, he steals butter like one who is poverty-stricken. Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna. Krishna is afraid of his mother's stick. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee. A devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. This Britya Vashyata does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. In the Bhagavad Gita 1:21, it is said that Krishna becomes the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Senayor Ubayar Madhye Ritam Stapaya Mechuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders. Place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order, and therefore one may argue that Krishna is also not independent. But this is one's agyana, ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of ananda maya rasa, chinmaya rasa. The yuma of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. Evam sandarshitam yanga harina britya vasheta svavashenapi krishnena yasyedam sheva ram vashe. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This is now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Here it mentions that a non-devotee cannot understand this pastime. And we can try to understand this pastime. As much as we become devoted, to that degree we can understand. But it is actually inconceivable that person who has unlimited energies can come under the control of a minute living entity such as the jiva. But here it says, actually, Krishna, he comes under control of prema bhakti, that is love. Of course, the jiva, the liberated soul, his very nature is satchitananda vigraha. His very body is full of bliss, full of knowledge eternally. That is, it's full of love and emanates that love, just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ita prakashya ekam kritsnam lokam imam ravi chetram chetra tata kritsnam prakashi tibharata. Just like the sun illuminates all the universe with its sunlight, so the living entity, one within the body, illuminates the entire body by his consciousness. So when the consciousness is fixed on Krishna, then he can emanate the entire universe, the entire spiritual world from his heart. He can broadcast it. Now, what we can learn from this is that if there's truly a pure devotee, such as Srila Prabhupada, and we serve his instructions, then Krishna will come under, doesn't exactly come under our control, because Krishna is under the control of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, therefore by following his instructions, and if Prabhupada's pleased, then Krishna also becomes under our control, because Krishna comes under the control of his devotee if the devotee is pleased. Therefore, there's nothing more valuable than trying to serve the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And the instructions of those who are following Srila Prabhupada also, Prabhupada is pleased when one follows the instructions of those who are following Srila Prabhupada. When he sees that his devotees are following his instructions, he's pleased. And when Krishna sees Prabhupada is pleased, then he's also pleased. And those instructions, there's so many of them. If we want to find some instruction to follow, there's so many. Just pick up nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion. And as Prabhupada said, if you get up from Mangalarati, because Srila Rupa Goswami has recommended that we go to Mangalarati, that if you go to Mangalarati, then you're serving the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami. And if we serve the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, then Srila Prabhupada is pleased, and if Prabhupada is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Now, how much we're aware of their happiness will depend upon our receptivity. In other words, certainly they're pleased, but how much we're going to be pleased depends upon where our consciousness is, what we're doing it for. In other words, the more we do it as a matter of duty, which is called karma yoga, just the fact that we're doing it means that at least if we do it dutifully, that this is something I'm supposed to be doing, then we become purified, that the activity becomes pure. And if we do it with knowledge, understanding why we're doing it, then our intelligence becomes purified. And if we do it with devotion, then the soul becomes purified. Now the aim is to purify ourselves. In other words, soul becoming purified means he actually comes in contact with Krishna and his natural love for Krishna is invoked. He can actually experience Krishna's presence. Now, dutiful activity, if it's done correctly, will purify the mind also to some degree or another, so that one can begin to understand the value of knowledge. But knowledge of the self and knowledge of the Supreme Self, so that one will make eventually an effort as one gets knowledge, not simply for knowing things as they are, but also for ultimately knowing that love is the ultimate objective of knowledge. And therefore one will try to please Krishna, do things to please Krishna, and that automatically includes to try to please Krishna's devotees. And if we say, well, pleasing Krishna's devotees, we should always understand, begins with pleasing Krishna's highest devotee. Or one who's giving instructions from the highest devotee. To please a devotee doesn't mean that some devotee I know, or aspiring devotee, wants to go to the movies, and therefore in order to please them, I go to the movies with them. They may be pleased, but Krishna is not going to be pleased. Nor will Prabhupada be pleased. So we have to understand what's actually pleasing to Krishna, and that comes down through this succession. From the actual pure devotees, or any devotees repeating the message of the pure devotee, that message is the same as the pure devotee. Things equal to the same thing or equal to each other. Then gradually we can understand how Krishna comes under the control of his devotee, because ultimately all these instructions and everything that's coming from Lord Chaitanya, who's Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So ultimately, by pleasing the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're pleasing Srimati Radharani. And Krishna is always under the control of Srimati Radharani. And when we don't please Radharani, that's called aparad, against Radharani. So we're learning how to avoid aparad. And we're learning how to follow the instructions in such a way as it's most pleasing. Now, aparad may be, for instance, we may do things dutifully, but not very with much attention, much understanding. Benefit is there, certainly, and that will purify us, but it should purify us in such a way as that we become receptive to the understanding why we're doing it. We shouldn't do things unconsciously. As Prabhupada writes, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. So certainly when we hear submissively, it means something's going to happen. Submissively means shushusho shadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi. So the word su-shu-sho means means nicely. Actually, su means without impediment, without obstacle. Just like sukha You heard the word sukha before? Anyone know what sukha means? What's that? What's that?
Pleasant to be done.
What does the word ka mean?
Space.
What's that?
Space.
Space. And sukha means what?
Good space.
A lot of space. Good space, yeah, a lot of space. It's like when you eat too much and you all become clogged up. That's called dukkha. Bad space. And sukha is when everything's going nicely. There's a lot of space. There's no, everything flows nicely. So, pleasing Krishna, or pleasing the pure devotee of Krishna, means that one is doing his activities and there's, one is hearing the instruction and there's no impediment. What is the impediment? Why don't we don't feel happiness? Or why do we feel happiness just by doing activity? People can come to the temple and chop vegetables and they feel actually quite happy doing that. Why is that? Because they're following the instructions of Krishna to some degree. And therefore, some of the activities, the impediments to their activities that make them feel dukkha, become purified. Their activity becomes purified. Therefore, they feel some happiness. But even beyond that is when our consciousness becomes purified and we hear the instructions sufficiently, we understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how to do it. And ultimately, jnanam gyanam gyanam gamyam riddhi sarvashivishitam. We have to add Krishna to the activity. So the reason why we're doing it, whatever we're doing should be, we're doing it for Krishna. Krishna wants us to do it. Because he's the proprietor of everything. It's one thing to do things dutifully, but to do them with the understanding that Krishna is the proprietor. Therefore, we utilize things in his service because they belong to him. Then we do it with the understanding that Krishna is pleased if we do it with care and attention to please him. So that's called jnana. And with that knowledge, then we can develop devotion. In other words, devotion doesn't manifest itself all at once in our heart. It manifests when we do things with knowledge, which ultimately means to please Krishna. And then when Krishna sees we're attempting to please him, then he reciprocates. And we can experience, he reveals what devotion actually means. Or Śrīla Prabhupāda writes, blind following and absurdity increase are condemned. So what's blind following? Means we just do things like karma yoga. It's karma yoga. It's we're doing the right thing, but we're just following blindly. We don't know why we're doing it. And absurd inquiries are condemned means we're doing things without knowing and we're asking questions that have nothing to do with actually discovering why we're doing it. We get so much knowledge, but we don't know what we're doing or why we're doing it. So that's called absurd inquiries. Where did the jiva come from? How many souls fit on a peacock feather? Whatever. One should not only hear submissively. So we have to hear submissively. Any hearing about Krishna or about devotional service would be beneficial. But we should know what the objective, ultimately, of hearing. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding. We want to clarify everything, sukha, become happy. After all, if we actually heard carefully and with full attention and accepted what we're hearing, we'd be liberated immediately. We'd have no bodily concept of life anymore. We'd be situated on the spiritual platform. Certainly we'd be happy, that realizing that we're eternal. And if we actually heard even more submissively, then we realize that there's a super soul within my heart, and he can tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do and how to do it. He can take control. So everything I do is completely devotional. And if we heard, if we practice that, eventually we come to actually meet Krishna personally. Then we actually feel complete happiness. So once you not only hear submissively, but once you get a clear understanding, and what is that? Through submission, service, and inquiry. So we have to develop our inquisitiveness. What are we doing here? How to do it? People are inquisitive about so many things, but how about becoming inquisitive about how to improve our devotional service? How to improve our devotional attitude? How to improve our devotional understanding of things? So that's called inquisitiveness. And by putting into practice the knowledge, what we hear, how to do it. In other words, if we're inquisitive and study Prabhupada's books, so we make inquiries from devotees who are more advanced than us about those subject matters, and we learn about that and then put it into practice, then the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, then Krishna gives us the understanding by which we can come to them. Krishna reciprocates. So blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but once you get a clear understanding through submission, service. So the service has to be there. And then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, then Krishna will reciprocate and enlighten us with the knowledge. Then it becomes realized, knowledge. And ultimately, Krishna, how he does that, he reveals himself within our heart. We don't have to go through some other purificatory process. Simply by following that, Krishna gives us the understanding. And if we follow that understanding, because Prabhupada said, blind following and absurd inquiries and condemned, once you not only hear submissively, once you get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. The spiritual master is by nature very kind to his disciple. And when the disciple is always submissive and is ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. The spiritual master by nature is very kind to the disciple. When the disciple is submissive, one must be able to pass the test of the bona fide spiritual master. And when the spiritual master sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So test has to be there. Otherwise, how do we know how sincere we are? How does Krishna know how sincere we are? We weren't born sincere. As a matter of fact, we were born sincere to do everything except for Krishna consciousness. So therefore, some test has to be there. And that test, when Krishna sees that we, as much as he thinks we've passed it, because he's the judge, then he genuinely blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. That submission and service, or the inquiries and submission constitute the submission and inquiry are the basic principles of spiritual understanding. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. When the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, then the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. Therefore, we get back to the verse that we had to become steady in spite of all the obstacles and the deviations and the problems we face. We have to keep on trying to become steady in our service and try to do it in any circumstance with some enthusiasm. Our moroseness, our lack of enthusiasm is due to Maya, is our illusory conception of existence. And what do we get as reward when we're acting in Maya? We get Maya. That's what we get as a reward. We get discouragement, we get pain, we get suffering. Because that's what we want to be in. That's what we've accepted. This is our reality, and no one's going to tell us it's anything different. Therefore, I have a perfect right to be morose. And no one's going to convince me that I actually am eternal, that there is an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. No, I'm morose, and I deserve to be suffering like I am. And everyone should feel sorry for me. Everyone should appreciate how much I'm suffering, how much I've sacrificed. What a martyr I am. So this is all called ignorance and illusion. So we've accepted ignorance and illusion, and therefore we have to suffer. And if we accept real knowledge, when the student is always submissive and is ready to render service, then we'll pass the test. And then there'll be a genuine reciprocation of real consciousness, real awareness. And the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. So if we're actually interested in becoming eternal and becoming eternally happy, if we become submissive and ready to render service, then that inquiry to become eternal and at full bliss will actually be met. When the student is always submissive, is ready to render service, and the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries will becomes perfect. So then it will become enlightened, will make progress, things will become clearer, and will become happier gradually. Then we'll be able to understand what's going on a little bit in these pastimes. That they're living in a world completely different from our world, where we're just struggling to get out of illusion. And as much as we get out of illusion, and we can understand what it's like to live without illusion in full in consciousness of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Someone had a question? Everyone agrees? Anyone disagree? Okay. Khala Grandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.